Well, amen. As you're remaining standing, good morning, first of all. I've not said good morning to most of you, and I thank you for your patience and waiting until I get better strength. Amen. This is my second sermon preaching after my long 6 weeks being out, and so I appreciate your attendance here today. And I join Pastor White in thanking the men that came out yesterday and shared their hearts with the Word of God, and those that came out for soul winning yesterday. I appreciate that. What a blessing it was to see you all, and God will reward your labor. Amen. I guarantee that. Take your Bibles, and if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We're continuing with our theme, and our theme is shining God's light with all our might. Last week, we looked at a different aspect of it. We talked about how we're going to make sure we continue to shine as ministers and be faithful. And God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Amen. That how you've ministered and continue to minister to the saints. And so last week's challenge was in that light. Today's challenge is going to be just a little different light, coming with an individual view. An individual view. Say, preacher, what is that? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
And again, I'd like to thank Pastor White for standing in for me. Amen. I'm working my way in backwards. When you say a little here, a little there, I'll start creeping in probably next week. I'll be doing the visitors and then creep up a little bit here and there, slowly but surely. Amen. Matthew 5, we're going to read only one verse today, and we're not going to really cover a lot of verses today. But I want to drive home a principle and a point today. Yesterday, as men, we talked about how we need to shine as men. And we talked about what we have to shine as men. And it's a practical, simple principle. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have the Word of God. And all God needs is a yielded vessel to fill. And so we have everything we need. We just need to shine. And I told the men this, don't be bashful in shining. It's not that you're braggadocious, and it's not that you're boastful, it's not that you're prideful. Light shines and it doesn't apologize for shining. It just shines. So when you walk in a room, you say, I'm light. Now don't tilt your nose up like this either. You just walk into the room and you will illuminate because you have what it takes. And that's why we challenged the men yesterday. This morning we're going to challenge you as individuals. With an individual view, read together with me. Matthew 5 and verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I'm just going to focus this morning on those first four words. Ye are the light. Ye are the light. Chapter 5 begins what's best known as the Sermon on the Mount. Many of you are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins to preach here, the Sermon on the Mount, talking about kingdom living or how you ought to live as a born-again, blood-washed believer. And he starts here in chapter 5. He concludes in chapter number 7. Notice verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain when he said his disciples, when he was said, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, he goes right into the Beatitudes, and he continues until chapter 7. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, everything is red until you come to chapter 7, verse 28, when he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Ironically, throughout chapter 5, 6, and 7, he never once states, this is how you are born again. He never tells you the way of salvation in those chapters. But he does describe how someone that is saved ought to live and behave. And so those that are saved should walk as kingdom citizens, as is described in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And the Sermon on the Mount goes beyond the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. You'll hear Jesus say, you've heard it old times. And he begins to restate parts of the law. And he's going now deeper to the surface law, to the heart of the matter. And that's the intent of the law. And we can get so stuck on the law that we forget the spirit of the law. What am I saying? You can be so stuck on trying to get to work on time that somebody on the side of the road needs your help that you don't want to stop and help them. That's the spirit of the law. Say, a preacher, I'll get fired. Well, if you do it too many times, you will. Amen. He begins with what's best known as the Beatitudes, and it's called Beatitudes because B stands for blessed, and blessed means happy. And I'm not going to go into the verse by verse, but suffice it to say that only genuine, saved, born-again people living by the Spirit of God can live these attitudes. Don't even try to attempt to live it on your own because you won't be successful. It takes the supernatural power of God. By the time you come down to verse 13 and 14 and 15, after talking about the Beatitudes or the blessed attitude a believer ought to have, he equates Christians to salt and light in those verses, giving you and I the understanding that like salt, we are to add moral preservation to a spoiled world. You think about it, back in the days, salt was used as a preservative. Matter of fact, you get foods that have a lot of salt in them, it preserves them. Now, it doesn't bring corruption to incorruption, but it slows down the process. And so as salt of the earth, he says, you ought to provide moral preservation to a spoiled world. Where you go, it ought to not be as bad. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Then in verse 14 and 15, he equates us to light, and light adds spiritual illumination to a dark world. John Phillips says this commentary about that: while salt deals with the moral, light deals with the spiritual. Salt relates to our character, but light relates to our conduct. Salt deals with what a person is. Light deals with what a person does. Amen. And so we ought to be salt and light. Yes, sir. We're not going to talk about the salt today, but it is good. Amen. Today, what I want to focus on is shining God's light with all of our might as individual lights, or with an individual view. Or in other words, he says, ye are the light. Think of yourself as the absolute only light on the planet Earth. Amen. That's pretty much what Jesus is saying. When he says, ye are, he's saying you and only you. Think of yourself as the only individual light in the world, and seeing that as your light, you can and should and have to make a difference, and you should be significantly different from anybody else. Amen. Why? God, when he made you, he broke the mold. Amen. He did, Pastor. He did. Aren't you glad that God broke the mold? There's nobody like you. You're an individual. Praise God for it. And so I want us to look at this from a different perspective. Ye are the light. As an individual view, how am I shining? By the way, let me help you out. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't look behind you. Don't look in front of you on how you ought to shine. That's between you and the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Father, help us today. Help this preacher, Lord. I can't do anything of my own. Just like these Beatitudes cannot be lived in the flesh, it can only be lived in the Spirit and the power of God. Lord, I need you to take me as a vessel today and preach the Word of God through me. Lord, I've got a simple, practical principle today that I want to get forth, and I pray the Holy Spirit would do his job in doing that for me and through me today. Lord, I pray that the ears would be attentive and the hearts would be surrendered and the minds would be submissive to the will of God today. Lord, if we don't get anything out of the message today, I pray that we will go home understanding that we are the light. And we're an individual light. And we're not to shine like anyone else because we're not like anyone else. Lord, help us to grab hold of that purpose and that peace today. Lord, if there is one today that's not born again, that's not saved, that does not know Christ as Savior, and if they're hanging on the brink of doubt, bring them to trust Christ as Savior today. And Lord, make a difference in our lives today that we can truly say it's been good to be in God's house, and we leave here differently than we came in, more bold in our shining, more bright in our light, and Lord, more opportunistic where we go to shine. Bless now in the music that will be sang and in the message that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the hills, the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the praise forevermore. You will roll up grades of trial. You will cross the bridge of strife. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. You will often find obstructions. Look for storms of wind and rain on a trestle, they will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Jesus. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the angels wait to join us.
singing. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Nothing like some good singing on a Sunday morning before you get ready to preach. Appreciate the choir and the work that they are doing and have done, and what a blessing and an encouragement they have been to my heart. Amen. Well, talking about ye are the light, and if you don't remember anything else, they remember these four words: ye are the light. Ye are the light. Everything that I talk about today, just keep saying that over to yourself. Ye are the light. Ye are the light. What does that mean? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in a minute. But ye are the light. Talking about shining God's light this year with all of our might. And if that is to happen, as men, we understand what we have. But now let's put it on an individual view. What if I am the only light? And by the way, you are the only light like you. When God saved you, let's go before he saved you. When you were born, there was no one like you. Even if you're twins. I know Andrea's got a twin. Anybody else got a twin besides Andrea? Amen. Ron's got a twin. Isaac and Isaiah are twins. But guess what? Although you two are here, you're different. You're different. Say, yeah, we got different ties on. Amen. There's more to it. There is a difference. In the Gospel of John, Jesus had seven I am statements referring to himself. Anybody familiar with those seven I am statements? Let me read to you those seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Now, jot down the references if you want to look them up. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, he said, I am the door. John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, one of the more familiar ones, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Preacher, what does that got to do with the sermon? It's got everything to do with the sermon. Of all of the I am designations Jesus used, bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life, the door, he used one to equate to you and I. He said, I am the light of the world. Amen. What does Matthew 5:14 say? Ye are the light of the world. Of all the seven designations Jesus gave himself, he took one designation and he gave it to you and I, and he said, I am the light of the world. He said, but you are too. Kiss yourself. Man, I'm special to God. And you are. You are. Imagine God, the God of the universe, taking something and placing it in you and saying, you are the same thing that he is. I think we're special to God. Jesus gives us the same designation as himself as the light of the world. That's powerful. He didn't say you will be. He said you are. Right now you are. Don't wait for it. You are. If you're born again, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. Right now you are the light. That is. He gave the same designation of himself to you and to me. I find that to be pretty incredible. Let me give you a couple things our light involves, and I'm going to give you an illustration. Our light involves, first of all, a personal touch. You say, preacher, why a personal touch? Because God placed the light in you. And the words ye are come with the idea of being you or yourself. This means yourself or you alone, not someone else. No matter if you're the only light, we are individuals. You are. Ye coming with the application of you and only you are belonging to you. Ye are. The children sing the song. This little light of whose? This little light of mine. What am I going to do? I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, what am I going to do? Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Shine it until Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. They got all kind of versions of the song and different ways to sing it. Now, I remember some of the kids said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Whoa, this little light of mine, I was like, whoa, they getting with it. So different ways you can sing it, but guess what? It's still the same light. It just comes out of one differently than it comes out of another. How many of y'all familiar with that last one I just sang? Pastor White from North Carolina, I know he's familiar with that one. Kid starts in it, whoa, this little light of mine, whoa, I'm going to let it shine. Well, this little. I'm just saying, that's how they used to sing it. You know why the kids can sing that? Because it's theirs. Belongs to them. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he said, you are too. I put something special in you. Why? Because you're special. I put a personal touch on you. You've got different DNA. You got different eyes. You got different thoughts. Only you are you. I love my wife's eyes. She's got hazel eyes. Remember the first time I met her, I looked in her eyes. I thought, glory to God, I can just jump in there. They change colors, you know. I can tell sometimes when she gets upset, they kind of get a little lighter. When she's not feeling well, they really get light. And I can say, oh, she's not feeling well. They're light, a little light now, so I know she's not feeling too good right now. When I first met her, I thought, man, she is just beautiful. Look at those eyes. But you know what? Nobody's got eyes quite like hers. You know, they have these tests that they can put the retina in there, and nobody's got the same eyes. And although my wife's got hazel eyes, and other people may have hazel eyes, you don't have my wife's eyes.
Amen.
They're my eyes.
Amen.
They're mine. You get your own hazel eyes. Some folks try to fake it and put them contacts in, them fake contact hazel eyes. That ain't your eye. Get that junk out of there. No, I'm just joking. Stop that. I'm being mean. My wife says, just stop being mean. Just got back your second time preaching. You're being mean already. No. What am I trying to say here? If there's a personal touch, he says, ye are. Not only does our light involve a personal touch, but there's a purposeful touch as well. He says, ye are. The light. The light's purpose is to shine, to make manifest, to appear or be seen, to be luminous, to allow to see or to expose. Those are the definitions for the word light. And Jesus said, there's a personal touch, it's in you, but then there's a purposeful touch. You are to expose, to make manifest, to appear or be seen, to be luminous or allow to see. Light is used to illuminate or make things clear. You read in Luke 15:8, a candle was used for the purpose of finding that which was lost. Our purpose is to allow others to see Christ in us. As salt, we're to provide a moral preservation. We're to make sure the corruption doesn't go any further. It doesn't go any further. But as light, we're to be spiritual illumination. Everywhere we go, we're to light up the area with the truth of God and the light of the Spirit of God. When light comes in, darkness has to flee. You never will find darkness coexisting with light. It's an impossibility. Light exposes and reveals. We as individual Christians should shine, and we should shine differently. Why? Because the gifts given by the Holy Spirit are different. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. No two gifts given by the Holy Spirit are the same, so the shine of each will be different through the believer. What am I trying to say? You have a light, and your light is unlike anybody else's light because you are different. You're different. Our light is a personal touch from God Almighty, but it's also a purposeful touch. Ye are the light. I need some help. Brother Bruner, come on up here for a second. And I need Brother Isaac, Isaiah, Kayvon, Josiah, Jeremiah. You guys come up here for a second. Brother, if you take this table for me and set that down in the middle. I've got a bag down here. And in my bag, I've got some lights. And each light that I pull out represents a Christian. The first light that I have is called laser light. How many of you are familiar with laser light? A laser light is designed to pinpoint something. How many of y'all see where it's at right here? Pointing to AV mute. Now, the good thing about a laser light that it works when the lights are on. And its design is to pinpoint what it's pointing at. This is a light of a Christian. Okay? Then notice what it does. It pinpoints. Brother, cut all the lights out. Let me bring another light out of here. This is called a camping light. How many of y'all would think, where would you use a camping light at? In camping. Brother Bruno, why don't you hold my camping light? Now notice the camping light shines in every direction. Hold it up there, Brother Bruno. So people in front can see and people behind can see. And if he were taller, amen, other people could see. Now, Brother Bruno, I want you to walk back that way and just go that way. That is what we would call a camping light. You would use a camping light for camping. This is a desk light. Brother, let's go ahead and walk around the auditorium. This is a desk light. How many would, where would you use a desk light? On a desk, amen. And you put it on your desk and you could study, amen. I use it sometimes when my wife is in the bed and I don't want to wake her up when I'm in the bedroom, amen. And so, Jeremiah, you've got a desk light. And so I want you to walk around with that. Now, Jeremiah, is the desk light different from the camping light?
Yes.
Is it more, it's more focused, isn't it? Focused in a direction. It doesn't shine in every direction. Isaiah, come here. Isaiah, this is a flashlight. Now, does this light look different from the other lights? It sure does, doesn't it? But notice it's got a little spotlight. It goes way over here. You can see your shoes, amen? You take that light, and I want you to walk around with that light. That's a flashlight. And a flashlight is normally used when you want to find objects in your trunk or something like that, or, you know, one of those things here. Now, I've got a key light. Do you drive? He don't drive, all right? If you drove, you'd have keys attached to the other end. What do you think a key light's going to be used for? He said to see your car at night, amen. Well, yes, yes. But it is designed to find the keyhole, okay, or the ignition, okay? So that's a key light. So you take that light and you're going around. Y'all just keep walking around, amen. You can walk down the middle of the aisles, amen. And I've got another light in here. This is a pen light. There's a pen on the opposite end, and it's got a little light here, and you can use this to read with. Okay? Now, Kayvon, you walk around with the pen light, amen. Now, what would you use that for, Kayvon? Writing. Now, I've got another light in here as well that I'm going to bring out. Now, so far, every light has been different, hasn't it? And every light has a different function, doesn't it? And every light has the capability to do what it's designed to do. I've got one more light. This is firelight. Now, is the firelight like the other lights? What is the firelight designed to do? Burn, cook, bring heat. Would you read by this kind of a light? Would you point up there to the AV mute with this kind of a light? Would you have this light in your pocket to try and find your keyhole ignition? If you're desperate, you will. Amen. So now you light that when you walk around with that. Now, I think that is all of my lights. Just let me make sure. Oh, you got to. Oh, you got to hold. Oh, somebody bring some light over here so we can see. Boy, look at that. Let there be light, and there was light. You hold down that with your thumb.
Okay.
And then you do like that.
Okay.
Look at that. Light, light, light. Now, so far we've found out that the purpose of this is to cook, to provide heat. The purpose of Jeremiah's is to put on a desk. The purpose of this is for camping or outdoors. Yeah. The purpose of the flashlight is to find things in my trunk or in my house. The purpose of the key light is to find my ignition. The purpose of the pen light is for reading. Now, let's see how effective these lights are. Steve Bruner, I want you to point to AV mute up there with your light.
I'm not telling.
Now, which one works better, his or mine? Jeremiah, point yours up there.
Now, which one points better, mine or his? Which one underlines AV Butte? All right. Which one pinpoints what I'm talking about? All right. Flashlight man, come and shine yours up there. Underline that for me. Can you underline that? See, you're about to put it out. Which one is better? Mine's is. Come on, look, fireman. Yeah, come on. Which one's better?
I'd say mine.
Josiah said he'd say his. Who's got the pen light? Where's the reading light at? Kayvon, bring your reading pen light here. Shine yours up there. Didn't do anything, huh? Huh. So, why am I doing this? Because your light is a personal light. It belongs to you. It's yours and only yours. But it's got a purpose. And with the purpose, you've got to do what's intended for your light. You can no more do this than they can with their lights. If that's not the light that God has given you, why? Your light's personal and it's for a purpose. Y'all get the point? Not only would you not be able to do this, it's not practical. Now, let's just pretend Jeremiah is driving, and he forgot his key light.
Oh, boy.
So he's going to stick this in his pocket. Stick that in your pocket. And he's going to walk to Walmart. Come here, Brother Bruner. He's walking to Walmart, and he's got his light in his pocket. Now, let's see how ridiculous he looks so everybody can see. Go ahead, so they can see that. Now, would you want to go in Walmart looking like this? So it's not practical for him to have the desk light in his pocket. Where is it practical for him to have his desk light? On the desk. Where is it practical to have a key light in your pocket? Where is it practical to have a camping light when you go camping for the outdoors, for broad areas, for big areas? Where is it practical to have your fire light in the kitchen, at the stove, amen, or someplace like that? Where is it practical to have your reading light? Could you imagine, Brother Bruner, if you were married? Come on over here. You're going to go read at night in the bed before you go to bed, and you bought the camping light in instead of the pen light to read. What do you think your wife's going to do to you besides hit you with that book? She's going to say, could you put that light down? Get you a pen light that's small so you don't disturb me. My wife would probably say that to me, but she loves me so much she wouldn't do that. And so I use a little pen light when I go to bed. Why? This is not practical. Nor would I use a desk light. Why? It's not practical. Isaiah, who's got the flashlight? Y'all twins, so I can't tell y'all apart. Which one of you? Isaiah, I wouldn't use the flashlight to read with. Why? The pen light is more practical. Although it cannot shine up here at the AV mute like this, it's practical to read with in the bed.
Yes, sir.
You know what each one of these lights needs? Energy. A battery. I brought this point out to the men yesterday. Can this battery produce light by itself?
No.
It needs a vehicle. It needs a tool. It needs to work through something. The Spirit of God is likened to this battery. You are likened to the flashlight. You cannot operate without the power of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, you cannot operate outside of your means or your realm. Let's turn the lights back on. Simple illustration. You guys go ahead and get some candy. Come on over here. Now, I said all that to say this. Brother Bruno said, why you always pick the young people? I'm young, too. You guys make sure you get some candy over there, man. Take about five. You'll be good. Five will be good. It won't break the bank. What's the point in all this? We have different lights with different sizes, with different functions, with different abilities. And each one is used in a different fashion. And you wouldn't use one in spite of the other because of the effectiveness. And when Jesus said, ye are the light, he meant you have a personal touch upon you. I put my light in you and I gave it to you and I want you to shine it. And don't try to shine like somebody else because it didn't make you like somebody else. I think we as Christians, sometimes we get things so discombobulated because we look at this Christian, we look at that Christian, we're trying to shine like them. God doesn't want you to shine like somebody else. He wants you to shine like you. Wait a minute. You better make sure you got an energy source first. You better make sure you got something to shine. There's a lot of good religious works being done in the name of Jesus that aren't getting credit in heaven. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, to all to who? The glory of God. You can do things in the flesh and they don't get up to heaven. Amen. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Word of God. You need a vessel used by God. And my, then you can shine for God. But I think as Christians, so many times we look around and we see what brother so-and-so is doing and sister so-and-so is doing. And we try to mimic and copy them. God doesn't want you to mimic and copy nobody. The lights that I just gave to you all have one thing in common. Anybody can guess what that one thing in common they have? They all shine. They all shine. Ye are the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Did they all shine the same? But did they all shine? They all shone. Sometimes I believe we're guilty of looking around at someone else's light and trying to mimic that light when in essence God has made your light uniquely for you. The Spirit of God is going to use you and your qualities and your capabilities and your effectiveness, and He doesn't want you to try to be a laser light when He's made you a camping light. He doesn't want you to be a fire light when He made you a pen light. He doesn't want you to be anything other than what He made you to be. Say, preacher, I don't know what I need to be. You need to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Each of us has the light of Jesus Christ to be used in individual ways. I encourage you, Christian, don't be a carbon copy or a copycat Christian. Amen. In righteousness, yes. In holiness, yes. In good works, yes. In doing the things that God would have you to do, yes. Paul said it this way. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Let Christ be your pattern, but shine the way He wants you to shine. You can't be a camping light when God made you a pen light. And I have a feeling that a lot of pen lights are trying to be camping lights. A lot of laser lights are trying to be pen lights. A lot of fire lights are trying to be laser lights. And the church is confused and unproductive. Because you're trying to shine out of your element and you're not effective. Ye are the light. Let God use you the way He intended and how He intended. We are individual Christian lights and have responsibilities given by God that only we are called to do. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, and every Christian has some type of light to shine. You say, well, preacher, my light is not as outstanding as this. Think God made a mistake on the gifts that He gave? Well, so what? You don't have the gift of teaching. So what if you don't have the gift of helps? So what? You don't have the gifts of preaching. So what? You don't have the gifts listed over here, the helps, administrations, and all the other gifts. So what? God didn't make a mistake. He said, use what I gave you and don't try to be what you're not. The foot's not a toe, and the toe's not a foot. The thumb's not an eye, and the eye's not a thumb. Be the individual light God's called you to be, and be bright and bold about it. The only worst thing in the whole situation is having a light and not using it. Having a light and not using it. You know, it's bad enough to try to do something out of your element. And you can shed some light on it. The worst thing is to not turn the light on. That's the worst thing. To have the power of the Holy Spirit, to have the Word of God, to have my vessel ready and not turn my light on. Not go into the room and people see the presence of God on my life. They don't see the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not convicted about what they're doing. They don't see a difference in my life. It's not illuminating their lives. It's not helping preserve things. The worst thing is not to make a difference and having no impact at all. What am I trying to say? Pastor White can't shine like me. But he can shine as my assistant pastor.
Amen.
Why? He's not the pastor. Deacons can't shine like assistant pastors. Why? They're not assistant pastors. They're deacons. Now, I'm not diminishing Pastor White's position at all. I'm just saying he can't shine like me because he's not me. He wasn't raised in Illinois. Thank God you weren't, brother. And I wasn't born in North Carolina. Heaven be thanked, amen. I couldn't imagine being from North Carolina. They got ticks out there, amen. Ticks in the sticks, and they got humidity and sweat pots and all that other stuff. I'm not from there, and so I'm not going to try to be like that. I can't even talk country. Say, is everybody from North Carolina talk country? No. But some of them do, amen. What am I saying? We've got to be. Consider some of the gifted differences among godly biblical saints. Now, notice these names as I read them. Adam shined as a farmer. Abraham shined as a pilgrim. Joseph shined as a ruler. Moses shined as a leader. Joshua shined as a general turned leader. Miriam shined as a leader of women. Aaron shone as a priest. Samuel shone as a prophet and a judge. Samson shined as a judge. Deborah as a judge and an advisor. David shined as a shepherd, musician, turned king. Hannah shined as a godly mother. Isaiah shined as a prophet. Paul shined as an apostle and a church planter. Timothy shined as an assistant and a pastor. Peter as an apostle. Eunice and Lois as a godly parent and a grandparent. Aquila and Priscilla as church ministers, and nobody tried to be like somebody else. Why do we try to be like somebody else? Ye are the light. You have a personal touch, and you got a purposeful touch, and shine the way God intended you to shine. Don't try to be like somebody else. Can you imagine if King David tried to be like King Saul? He'd probably met the same fate. Can you imagine if Deborah tried to be like Samson? Oh, me. Cutting off the hair, amen. I know some of y'all ladies trim the hair, but I ain't seen many ladies that cut it all off. One thing that they had in common was they were each lights, they each shone, and they each were individually and uniquely equipped to shine the way God wanted them to shine. Each one was different. Individually, only you can shine as God desires you to shine. Your light independently belongs to you, and no one else has it. Uniquely, you are uniquely you, and only you have your particular makeup to shine like you. And that's why you cannot be a laser light if you're a camping light. The type of light that God is shining through you is going to be based upon the Word of God that is in you and how much you're willing to do the Word of God. The more the Word you're going to do, the more you'll shine as a laser light. The more you'll expose as a camping light. The more you'll shine as a flashlight. Whatever light it is He's giving you, however you follow the Word of God, you'll shine brighter and brighter as you follow the Word of God. You don't follow the Word of God, guess what? You'd be dim. You'd be obscure. You'd be dark. And that's not the purpose of light. Never has been, never will be. We all shine as lights differently because we're uniquely made to shine. According to Psalm 139:14, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are equipped that way to shine. Different lights don't shine the same way, the same with the same intensity, nor for the same purpose, nor in the same way as was demonstrated here. But the commonality is that they all shine light. The goal for us as individual lights, and when Jesus said, ye are the light, is to shine as God intended. Read you a devotional that I read several days ago. Okay, January 4th. Hey, I went down. Y'all, time stood still for me for 6 weeks. After January 24th, 6 weeks stood still. Amen. And the devotion reads like this. Our world is focused on seeing tangible results. God works, however, isn't measured by visible results. God doesn't judge us based on how many people we lead to Christ or how large our sphere of influence has grown. God has a different plan for every person. His purpose and measure of success is based on faithfulness, and then I added, in shining bright. Sometimes we become discouraged in faithful living. Things go wrong. We don't see results like we thought, and discouragement sets in, like sometimes it does on soul winning. Yet despite how quickly or slowly things progress in life, realize that God's purpose for your life is being fulfilled as long as you're faithful to Him, and I add it, as an individual light. Goes on to say, God's purpose for your life is to live faithfully and obey His commands, no matter what results you may or may not see. You can have joy knowing that God's will is being done. And I added, when you shine his light. Take heart in knowing that as you faithfully follow God, you are fulfilling his purpose for your life. He knows what's best and will accomplish his will through you as you're faithful to him. And then I added, in shining your light. What am I saying? Each one of us has a light just like down here. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit just like here. You have the capability to have the Word of God. And each one of us has a body that is the tool or the vehicle or the vessel that God uses. How much you shine is going to be based upon your utilization of the Word of God and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. But don't try to be a laser light. God made you a camping light. Now, maybe you are a laser light. And God's design for you is to pinpoint things in people's lives. And he's giving you that ability to get close to people and talk to people and pinpoint certain things in their life they need to work on. And that's your gift. That's your ability. Praise God for it. Maybe you're like Pastor White and myself. You're like a camping light. You can light up a broad area with the ability to preach to all sorts of people all around. You've got the capability to speak and teach to a broad group. And you're like a camping light. You're exposing everybody. Or maybe you're like a little pin light where you can be a blessing to your wife or you can be a blessing to your husband or your children in the privacy of your own home like a pin light. Maybe like a flashlight. You can go and expose things to people and spot in on things in their area. And maybe like a desk light. You can help people figure out things in the Word of God. Brother Serge is good at that. Others are good at that. Like a desk light. You can help illuminate the things of God. And you can help people use things in the Word of God. And maybe that's your light. But use it. Use it. Don't abuse it. There's another devotion I read, and this was good. It says, when I was young, I wished I could be more talented so that I could point more people to Christ. But I was looking at the wrong thing. God often uses ordinary people for his extraordinary work. It is his light shining through our lives that glorifies God and draws others to him. When others look at our life, it's more important that they see God and not us. We could not be the light if he didn't give us the light.
That's right.
And so it's not about us anyway. You know, it's not about this. But you know what it is? It's about what this can do. It's not so much about this, but it's about what this can do for him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what he said, ye are the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. He said, but you're the light of the world too. Shine as God has equipped you to shine. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Paul said, don't look at others to size yourself up. What you need to do is look at the Word of God. You look at somebody else, you might look pretty good. But at the same time, you look at somebody else, you might look pretty bad. But God doesn't want you to look at somebody else. He wants you to look at him. Jesus Christ has always been the standard, will always be the standard. He's always a measuring stick. Jesus Christ. He said, ye are the light. He said, I've given you that light. Just a couple chapters over as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. After talking about the light and the salt, he goes in to explain different things about the law in the remainder of chapter 5. But then he comes over to chapter 6 and begins to talk about prayer and fasting and some other things. And he talks about money in chapter 6 and verse 19. But then he sticks a phrase in verse 22, speaking about where your heart is. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, he's saying if you've got your hearts totally set on God, you'll be illuminated. Then he says this. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? I believe some people have not trusted Christ. And the light that they think they're shining is really darkness. And they don't even know it. And they think they're doing good works. Oh, they think they've got a laser light. They think they've got a camping light. They think they've got a flashlight and a key light and all the rest of the lights, and you can't tell them any different, but the light in them is darkness, and they don't even know it. Say, preacher, what's the person to do? Let your light so shine. Show them a difference. Show them what true illumination is all about. Jesus still said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, you can't see it. It's impossible. What? Darkness is in your eyes. And I'm afraid that there are many that have a so-called light, but it's darkness. As we endeavor to shine, be sure your light is not artificial light. Be sure it's not man-made light. Be sure it's not worked up by your own standards. But be sure it is truly indeed the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world that he said he is and that he said true believers are. Say, preacher, how can I get that light? By confessing your sin, saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Preacher, I'm not a bad person. Didn't say you were. I just said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't make you bad, doesn't make you good. Just makes you a sinner. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to recognize you sinned against a holy God. Start with the Ten Commandments, and there you go. We've all done something there. And so because the wages of sin is death, I should pay a penalty in this place called hell, and I should go to utter darkness and outer darkness. But God in his mercy sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins and for your sins, to hang on a cruel cross for my sins and your sins, to be crucified, taken down, buried, but hallelujah and praise God, raised the third day. Why? To give us light. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd.
That's good. That's good.
And guess what? I'll give my light to those that belong to me.
Amen.
And so he can say, ye are the light. Let me ask you a question. Is your light overshadowed? Is it obscured by darkness? Then your individual light is not being shown. And the way Jesus emphasizes it, he says, we need to shine as if we were the only light. And if your light is dim, guess what? It can still shine. Now, I'd rather have a dim light than no light at all. Amen. I'd rather have a dim light. But guess how much brighter it could be if you clear some of the obstacles out of the way. If you get some of the obscurities out of the way, if you go back to repentance of a holy God, if you take God up on his reproof and his rebuke, amen, Brother Joe, amen, and recognize, hey, I may have some repercussions, but God is good. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The famous words of Brother Dance, if you sow a mess, you'll reap a mess.
Amen. You sure
will. Amen. You know, if you didn't see anything else today, I hope you see how important your light is to those whom you're around daily. And more importantly, how important your light is as an individual light. Not like somebody else's light. Oh, please, please, if you didn't get anything else, don't try to be what you're not. Well, I can't shine like Pastor White. If you were Pastor White, I'd expect you to shine like him. I can't shine like Jeremiah. If you were Jeremiah, I'd expect you to shine like Jeremiah. I can't shine like Brother Serge. If you were Brother Serge, I'd expect you to shine like Brother Serge. I can't be a Miss Dawson. If you were Mrs. Dawson, I expect you to shine like Mrs. Dawson.
Amen.
I can't be like Pastor Dawson. God doesn't expect you to shine like Pastor Dawson. God expects you to shine like you. And you are uniquely you for that reason. Because only you can shine like you. God's invested in you the light of the world. That's powerful. And that's good. That's good. Ye are the light of the world. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You know, if you're not saved here today, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're religious here today, though, you understand that Jesus has something for us. But more importantly, what Jesus wants is your heart. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be saved. Say, preacher, what's that? We were on visitation just yesterday. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. And we met a little boy. I got a chance to talk to him about Jesus. And G2 just blurted out, "Are you saved?" And the little boy said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And most people don't know what it means to be saved, but let me let you know what it means. It means to be rescued and spared from that eternal place of torment called hell, where the penalty for your sins and my sins should be paid. The very connotation of the word saved means to be rescued. And if you and I don't have forgiveness for our sins in Christ as an individual and personally applied to our account, then we're still lost and we're in darkness. And we have nothing to do with this type of light that Jesus Christ is talking about. And if that's you today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. You say, "Preacher, I'm concerned about that. I think I've got the light, but I'm not positive. I believe I do, and I think I'm shining, but there's something in my heart that's saying maybe you don't have it. Maybe God's tugging at your heart." You say, "Preacher, would you remember me in your closing prayer?" Anyone like that at all? You say, "I'm concerned about my soul. I may not be saved." I see one hand. Amen. Is there another? "I'm concerned about my soul. Maybe I'm not saved. I think I am. I think I'm doing a pretty good job, but I'm just not sure. Pray for me, preacher." Anyone at all? Join this one. Anyone? "I'm not sure." Oh, don't be ashamed. You're around people that love you, want the best for you. Anyone at all? Second question, Christian, how about you? You have the light. Maybe you're trying to shine like somebody else. Maybe you're trying to be a laser light when God made you a camping light, or you're trying to be a pin light when God made you a flashlight. And you're just tired. You're worn out because you're not being utilized the way God intended. And you just are ineffective. And you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm just tired and worn out. I want to shine like God wants me to shine. I know if I shine that way, I won't get worn out. Pray for me, preacher." Amen. Amen. I see hands. I see hands. Amen. Hands going up. Anyone else? "Preacher, pray for me that I can shine the way God wants me to shine." Amen. I see those hands on my right. See those on my left. Amen. You may put them down. If we're honest, sometimes we all fail and shine in the way God never intended us to shine. And we use energy that's really not ours. Well, let me rephrase that. We use energy that is ours instead of energy that's the Holy Spirit's. And we get tired. Don't shine like someone else. Shine as God intended you to shine. Now, Father, you saw the hands raised here. Those saying they're uncertain about some things concerning their salvation, and well, then their other hands just want to shine as light. They want to shine the way you intended them to shine, uniquely as them. Lord, they don't want to shine like someone else. And God, I pray you would empower them and equip them and show them step by step how they can and should shine their light, Lord, so that you would get the glory and the praise from their life. Lord, there's some that are struggling with other issues today. Maybe some things clouded their vision. They could not see the light. I pray that you would take away the cloudiness from their vision and allow them to see the light. Lord, illuminate their path and illuminate the way that they can see what's going on in their own lives. And Holy Spirit, do the inspection in our hearts and our lives and help us to confess that which is sinful and to embrace that which satisfies you, Lord, and to go forward charging with our light and leaving here different than when we came in. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And as the piano plays, maybe God's spoken to your heart about an issue. Maybe you're unsure you're saved, or maybe you're not shining the way God would have you. Or maybe you're wondering, "God, what is the way I should shine?" Maybe you could come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Lord, show me. How should I shine? Lord, help me to be the pin light that you called me to be. Help me to be the camping light you called me to be. Help me to be the laser light or the key light, the desk light. Lord, help me to be the fire light. Lord, help me to be that light you've called me to be. I don't want to try to be like someone else. I don't want to be like the person next to me or the person in front of me or the person in back of me. I want to be the light you called me to be." Maybe you give that to the Lord. Maybe around lost people, and God has you as a pin light to pinpoint some things in somebody's life. Maybe you like a camping light at your job or at your school, at your home, and you expose things around you. Keep shining. Maybe you like the key light. You need to unlock some things in somebody's life with the Spirit of God's power. Or would you let God use you as that light that He's given you? Whether it's a key light to unlock, whether it's a camping light to expose, whether it's a laser light to pinpoint, whether it's firelight to heat something up in somebody's life. Stir something up in somebody's life. Would you let God use your light? Jesus said, ye are the light. No question about it. If you're saved and you're born again, you've got a light. Now I want you to use it for the world to see. Use it for the world to see. The song is coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide the arms. Lord, I'm coming home. Father, thank you so much for the practical truth that you preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, thank you for the way it impacts our life even today, because it's emphatic, ye are the light. It's us too. We're born again. Lord, you said that we are the light, the same light that you were. We're to be like you. You've given us the Spirit's power, and you've given us the Word of God. Lord, help us now to leave here, Lord, to illuminate areas uniquely designed for us to illuminate, and to expose areas uniquely given to us in the way you've equipped us. And Lord, for the souls struggling, doubting in their soul that they're saved, God, I pray you speak to that man, woman, boy, or girl. Help them to know before they leave these doors, heaven is their home. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. Bring us back tonight. Help us to embrace this practical truth and use it for your honor and your glory. Brother Sarah, do you come and close?